I'm going to crack up in a cold one with the boys, and let's get started.
Oh. Lads, I think it's only acceptable that the podcast starts as the Ota-chan voice, am I right?
Oh, like, of course, yeah.
Okay, I guess I'll start. Okay, get in the zone. I've got to summon her within me, though. That's the thing. It's really difficult. I haven't done her voice in ages. Okay.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Ota-chan show.
I'm joking. It's not. It's actually me. Hi.
Got him.
Got him.
Got him. That was awesome. Holy shit.
Yeah. I haven't done that in a while now, but yeah, damn, still got it.
Good. Yeah, you just, I like how you just like summon that. Like there was like some preparation and then she just kind of like billowed out of you. That was cool.
Quite honestly, that happens every time I go into a recording her. That's just, you have to channel the Ota-chan energy. She is
dormant within me.
Right.
Until I let her out.
So do you have to like sit in like a sensory deprivation room until like she
Yeah, I have to turn off all the lights in my room, sit in my corner, drink a few cans of beer and just like start swearing profusely. And then eventually that's how you summon Ota-chan. If you want to summon her yourself, that's the ritual. Since it's spooky season right now, if you fancy doing that.
Exactly. I think I will do that.
By the way, people who listen to the Yusef episode of this podcast may already know this secret, but people who are tuning in just from the Otaku versus channel proper are probably really surprised right now because, okay, you listen to the Ota-chan voice and you expect the person behind that voice to be very different from how you are.
Yeah, a lot of people, this tends to be in situations where, like, in real life, when I went to AX last year, when people, like, noticed me, because I'd, like, be wearing, like, the Otaku versus Lanyard and stuff, they'd be like, oh, are you Ota-chan? And I'd say, yeah, it's me, I'm Frankie, nice to meet you. And they'd be just so taken aback. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, no, that's the wrong voice, it's coming out of your mouth, bro. Like, what is the voice coming out of your mouth?
Do the voice, please do the voice.
No, do the voice, please do the voice.
I'm gonna fucking lose it if you don't do the voice.
And then, yeah.
Was there ever a situation where someone was like, where you went up to them and you're like, hi, I'm Frankie from Otaku Versus. And they're like, no, you're not.
Oh my, there's a few people that refuse to believe sometimes that it's me doing the voice. Like, like when I first met some of like some of my YouTube friends, Sydney, Sid Snap. I don't know if you're familiar, but like, She, we'd been talking for ages online and we'd finally met in LA and Yusef like introduced us and stuff because we'd recorded in a video where she voiced my sister in one of the Otaku Versus, like, before we became animated boys. This was like before then.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, Frankie, it's so nice to finally meet you. And I was like, oh, Sydney, it's so nice. She's like, what? Wait, what the fuck? What the fuck is the code? She's like, you're British? And I was like, it makes me so shy as well because like Ota-chan's like in a sense a lot more out there than I am, I think.
Yeah,
in like the screamy sense.
Well I speaking of which, I have one of my, we typically don't like to do questions on the show because, you know, we do but it's not like super interviewy, but I did want to know, like, how do you separate yourself, right? Because like I think typically if you're more, I don't want to say like timid, but if you're a little bit more reserved, right? And then you play a character that's so the opposite, like how do you separate yourself from that, from an over the top character?
I guess for me, and this has come from me, I'm studying like acting at the moment at university. It's come from being able to separate. When you're playing a character, especially like Ota-chan, it's the way you interpret that character that allows you to give you that separation. Because she can be very loud and like out there, and she does the drugs and stuff. And that goes without saying, I do not do drugs. I will clarify that now. I've had a few people like ask if I do coke. I drink the
Oh, that was my
cola.
Follow-up question.
No, but, you know, but, like, yeah, there's things that justify why she's the way that she is that are within her own self that are different to me. So I can be around, like, my friends and stuff in real life. They'll probably say I'm very loud and very out there, but in contrast with Ota-chan, it's not because I'm like coked up on drugs half the time. You know. But she's one of the most relatable characters I've ever like come into like contact with as like an actor, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, some people get taken aback like that, because, and that's why they assume I do drugs, because they're like, but she But yeah, there's a certain like realness there when I record with her, which you have to kind of slightly relate to her when you voice her. Whereas some of the stuff later on in episode 2 was a bit more like real talk, like stripping it back, real talk. She's being real with herself. She's being real with Cam and everything. And like that's one of my favorite ways to voice Ota-chan is like that, because everyone's slightly taken aback by it.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, because, like, you know, when watching it, it's very, like, the way you voice her, it's not like, you know, like, you watch, like, anime or even just, like, you know, other, like, animated TV shows. Yeah. Like, it sounds very much like, oh, this is just a person in, like, a recording booth. It sounds like they're reading a line. But with you, like, when you do Ota-chan, it's very, like, it's hard to explain, but it feels, like, more real, even though it's still, like, you know, it's an anime, but like the way you voice her just sounds like, oh, she's just like, you know, some crazy chick that lives in a high rise.
I think to be honest, so this is like slightly tying into how people usually would dub animes and stuff like that. Like, we're a very interesting situation over here at the Otaku versus Ota-chan show, because we are not we're an anime that is originally, like, it's I'm heavily involved in like the characterization and stuff, and I had to speak to Yusuf about this because it's what I'm actually doing my dissertation on, the way that the recording process and how we've actually managed to get to this point of producing something that like how we are. I'm a huge influence in the sense of they draw things from the recording phase. Like, if there's certain parts in the script, like, I'll completely improv, I'll break character. Yusuf would be like, no, we're keeping that, Frankie. You, that was really funny. We're keeping that. And that's so like her kind of personality. So like, it's really different in the sense of some people that like dub anime, they just get given the material and the exact lines they have to voice. And there's no like flexibility in the sense of where that journey can, like, where that character's journey can go. It's like, it's set. Whilst with us, it's been really amazing as a voice actress to have the opportunity to not only like influence his character vocally, but also in like really get into her head about the way she thinks about stuff, the way she would deal with a situation. Because a lot of the time, Yusuf will come, we'll go into a recording session. Part of it, maybe the end of an episode might not be scripted, and he'll just go, Frankie, son, what do you think? What would she do? What would Ota-chan say right now? Then I proceed to go sit in the corner, summon her, and it comes out, you know, like,
yeah.
But there's that experience where I feel so grateful that like I'm a part of that, and that I get to vocalize that. But yeah, there's really not much else I can say about that, really, other than like the recording process is nuts. Because it's just me and Yusuf shouting at each other for an hour or two. It's totally good.
Hey, Doplex, I noticed that Roboplex is back, by the way, on your audio.
Oh, really?
In Discord,
oh, like
yeah.
The robotic voice.
Yeah,
oh,
what's going on, bud? You all right? All right, I guess he's gone full robot. Sorry. Are you...
He's had a malfunction.
Let's see. I think I'm gonna fuck. Hold on. I think I know what it is. One sec.
You're sounding fine now.
Oh yeah, you're fine now.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So okay, all right, cool. I'm I'm on the Otaku Versus Twitter account.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the pinned tweet, and it's I'll link to that in the show notes for people who haven't seen it yet. It's kind of, I think, indicative of kind of the whole vibe of the show, which is very like fan service-y in general, I've noticed. And like, to the extent that you had creative control over everything, what was the motivation behind that?
So is the pin tweets for the third episode, right? Episode three. So that's like the gacha game kind of thing, and I personally have not fallen down the gacha game hole yet. I know I will. Everyone falls victim to it. I haven't quite yet, but I think if anything, some of the episodes are more Yusuf influenced than myself. This one, I remember being like, he didn't give me much context in the sense it's like being obsessed with a game, Frankie. Just be obsessed with a game, and I was like, okay, I can do that. I've gotten pretty obsessed with, like, you know, like playing Pokemon on my DS or something like that, or, you know, I understand. I think I've never had to scream and be rambly so much in my life in anything Otachan related. So I think I channeled a lot of episode one vibes into episode three, because basically, like, with every episode, I get given more, like, things like storyboarding and actual animation coming back to me, which I'm just like, whoa, this is so cool. Like, I can experiment so much with, like, how I'm going to, like, voice in a certain way when she's not looking at the camera. Like, you know, I'm still trying to remember what the fuck I'm saying whilst she's bent over with her ass in the air. Like, I don't know. You know, but, like, I think in this episode, in episode three, I just had to channel her a lot in the crazy sense.
Yeah.
She literally is, you know, gacha games. You're losing your mind.
Yeah, you mentioned gacha games, by the way. And, like, okay, so just for the audience's sake, if they don't know what it is, a gacha game is, yeah, they take a lot of forms. But a gacha game, in general, they tend to focus on kind of generic big titty, big booty anime babes. And
hell yeah.
The main mechanic of the gacha game is really not the gameplay itself, but it's about the pull. A pull is when basically you draw about 10 or 11 different things, whether they're characters or weapons or items or just different things. And it's really insidious, actually, if you go down that rabbit hole, because it gets to the point where it gets that Skinner box instinct going inside of people's heads, where they think, well, I'll pay another $10, I'll do another poll. And they really want that one, like, specific anime babe in their party, so, like, they keep pulling at it, and people end up spending, you know, $20, $100, $1,000, in some cases, like, 5 to 6 figures in a month just to fuel their account. And it's like, it's fascinating, but it's also kind of fucked up. Because, like, people are going into debt for a video game, and it's just like, wow.
Yeah, and you can understand from Otachan's addictive personality, that was something that the two and two kind of went in hand, really, and recording that. So it was like she was on drugs, but a different kind of drugs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
Do tell.
Oh, I don't know how much I can, like, say, you know. I messaged Yusuf, like, before. I was like, oh, I'm doing the podcast today, and he was like, oh yeah, you're gonna have so much fun. I was like, oh, I'm nervous, but, you know, but, like, I was like, is there anything I'm, like, not allowed to say? It's just like, nah, I trust you, G. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, what am I not allowed to say?
See, that he did that on purpose so that way you wouldn't say anything.
Yeah, just leave me with, like, this thing in my brain thinking if I say something wrong.
I think you'll be okay as long as you avoid most of, like, the hard racial slurs. Like, you should be fine at that point.
Yeah, you could do the soft ones.
What was that other one, like, that the chat came up for white people a couple weeks ago, Amir? What was that? It was like Enos or something.
I think it was
Enos, because we asked people to come up with a new slur against white people, and that's, I think that's what they came up with. because it's like it's completely non-offensive. Like if you call a white guy an enus, like there's no history or of trauma or anything, but it still sounds vaguely insulting.
Just be like, why, thank you.
Yeah. They're just so baffled.
Are you like, complimenting me?
Oh. Or... So that's the reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a slur for Canadians?
Canucks?
Is that real?
No, I think that's just like a nickname, though. I'm going to Google this real quick. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, God. Talk of the devil. Talk of the devil and he shall be summoned. I swear, yeah. I haven't said anything, Yusuf. I swear.
Oh, by the way, he is listening in right now.
He is. Oh, he's here.
Hey, Yusuf.
Whoa.
What is he watching?
It's a baby.
He's watching
Don't
a baby.
Secrets.
He's babysitting. Right. That is Yusuf from Otaku Versus, by the way, in the chat. Thank you for tuning in, bud.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for popping in.
I went ahead and looked it up, by the way. Canuck is not, it's not a slur. It's just like an American nickname for Canadians.
Oh, right.
So it's not bad. Okay. So I won't have to censor that in post. Okay.
So it's like when people call Americans Yankees, right? It's kind of like the same thing.
Mm. Yeah. What? You know what? Is that... Okay, so I'm thinking about the word Yankee. Mm. Is that like a stealth term for like, oh, those American like masturbators or something? Now that I think of, like, is that where that comes from?
I've like, only ever heard it in the song.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's what it is. I think it's from the song.
Like a Yankee, like they're yanking it. Like is that the origin?
Yeah.
Yankee his doodle dandy. That I can't listen to that song if that's true anymore, I'll be quite honest.
Yankee be doodling his dandy.
Yeah. Oh no.
Did you injure yourself or something? Are you okay?
Fine. The realization is the injury.
Oh, okay.
Oh. I think we broke her.
Okay.
We have. I'm still here, though.
Do you have any? Speaking of upcoming plans for the show, do you have any like intriguing tidbits to share with us about the future of the series?
I'm still voicing Ochan. At least I'm still the one. Honest to God,
we have news for you.
Oh no!
Oh, we did. On the Yusuf episode, we actually did
something.
Yeah, he's saying in the chat, she's on thin ice. We did float the idea, by the way, to Yusuf that maybe potentially just for one episode, Yusuf himself could voice Oda-chan just without any context or any explanation. I think that would be really funny.
I'll be quite honest. If, because me and Yusuf, we tend to record our recording sessions together. So he has audio of when he's giving me like the readout of the line for me to repeat. Mm-hmm. Like, and he's like, oh, could you do it more like how, like this? So he's recorded all the Oda-chan voice lines as well. So I'm just saying, Otaku versus redub when? Because, I mean, I will step down for like maybe a week, okay? And that's the most I'm willing to do. I need to keep this job. Yusuf, I know you have those recordings.
Fair enough, but I would like to see that dub. I would like to see that dub.
Yeah, I'd like to see it, to be honest, because like I think Yusuf at like points can channel Oda-chan even better than I can.
Oh.
You know, at the beginning of like a recording session, because sometimes I'll be very tired, but like no, I'm gonna do it. Don't worry. Like once she's summoned. I have to like sprinkle salt on me and like exercise my body afterwards. You know, but like
yeah.
You know.
Okay, so let's get into something slightly more serious, because I think people are going to be curious to hear this. And we asked about this on the last episode with Anthpo, and I think it's a good question for a content creator, and that is, what's kind of your 5-year plan at the moment?
Oh, wow. That's
this is
like,
for a job, so.
Yeah, so like for context, I guess, at the moment, I'm in my final year studying at university, so I'm studying an acting degree, and I'm hoping to go straight into work after that, because we do like professional directed performances and like theater and film. But it's just all about auditioning. And I think that a lot of actors, and this is like, you talk to loads of actors and you sort of like mentally prepare yourself for it. You're going to get a lot of rejection. So I'm thinking 3 years of rejections on the cards for me, but like successful rejection, if you will, because, you know, you just have to take the punches when you're an actor. I wouldn't see myself as an actor yet, even though the amount of people that come up to me and tell me that, like, oh, you are a professional voice actor for doing Noah-chan stuff. And I'm like, I literally record this in my bedroom, like with my blanket thrown over my head. Mm-hmm. Like summoning a demon within me.
To be fair, right now, even the biggest celebrity in Hollywood is recording from their bedroom. So
yeah,
it doesn't make a difference. I think yeah. you're just as respected.
Yeah, there is that like line, I guess, is like what is considered professional in like the COVID situation that we're in and everything having to be recorded from home and stuff like that. Like the element of professionalism within it. That's like part of what my dissertation's about, actually.
Oh.
Investigating that.
Having somebody who brings you coffee.
Yeah. Just like, you know, I'm locked down. I send someone else out there.
That's a great way to, by the way, to kill two birds with one stone is to do this YouTube thing. Obviously, you know, as a business venture, but also like knock out your dissertation with it. That's a great idea.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's what I'm writing about. My university lecturers for all 3 years of me being at university had no idea I was doing this online until I had to start typing up my proposal for what I wanted to do. And with a dissertation, you have to have some form of field work. And when I said I wanted to do voice acting, they were like, well, you're going to have something that... you've done as field work and like to professional standard and blah, 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 and see what you found out. And I was like, oh no, you're about to find something out. <You know? laughs> Sent it to them. They were like, what? No, is this you? Like the whole, you do an accent. That doesn't sound like you thing.
I'm kind of curious, by the way, on that note, other than the reaction to your voice, I like it. I'm just gonna say I like it, but the Oda-chan show is an acquired fucking taste, I think, for your average normie. So my question is, how did they react to that? Because that's some shit, man. Like,
like, it's a mixed bag. It really is, because like I like to look at the comments. And then sometimes I don't like to look at the comments, depending on what I read.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's that whole thing with like people, like if they liked things subbed or dubbed. But in the essence of Oda-chan, it's its own entity where you're like, oh, there's only one there's only one dub. Like, this is her voice. You know, people get used to that.
I'm talking specifically, though, when it comes to like your professors and stuff. Like, how did they take that?
Oh, well, they like... At the moment, they're discovering my different vocal techniques at the minute. I'm doing the microphone module within my third year at the moment, and it's all voice acting. And everyone, and I'm sat in these Zoom calls, and everyone's there on their laptops, and you have to have your camera on because they have to see what you're doing, like vocally and physically, like as you're like projecting. And I'm just there with my interface, my headphones, my microphone and everything. And they're like, okay. well, Fran's very set up for this call, this Zoom call. Wow. And then we get into divvying up like the parts and stuff. It's like, oh, she's doing an American accent. Can you try doing an American accent. I just come out with it, and they don't expect me to sound like this or do this. And then I put on the Oda-chan voice. Or I do a wee bit of Scottish, and they don't understand that I can do the accent very well. Well, I can't now, I'm dropping it, but you know, very on the spot. But like,
you have a lot of range.
I think, and also, I like most girls when they voice, when they, especially like anime characters, I feel like they're so much more in their higher register. They're comfortable in their higher register. I'm not like that. Unless I'm screaming at a chan, I'm like low. Like, she's quite a low voiced, like tiny anime girl, I think, by like certain standards, yeah. which I think some people actually like about her, that she's not like
all cutesy and up in the top range up here, because that's really anime girl, you know?
Yeah.
See, that's what I would expect. Like from looking at her, I would expect her to be like that. So yeah, it's definitely a pleasant surprise the way you portray her.
It's good that she's not that, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's one person, my mum cannot stand the voice.
Oh.
Whenever, well, she's a supportive mother. And
is it the swear words or just the voice?
She hates it. Whenever I send her any of the new episodes, she's like, oh, and she's this like really like takes no shit Scottish Irish woman, and she's like, oh, Francesca, why do you have to keep dropping the F-bombs and everything in these recordings that you do? She's so cute and cuddly, why would you do that? And I'm like, it's not me.
Wait, she has Scottish heritage and she's angry about swearing?
I know, well, you know, just, she wonders where I get it from. It's obviously,
I wonder where.
There's the Celtic roots within me.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Otachan is like partly Scottish.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe that's why. She just drops them F-bombs.
I feel like the statistically like first word that most Scottish babies say is probably the word fuck. Like, it's not exactly a nice speaking dialect.
I'm going to ask her what her first word was.
Okay.
And see what she says.
All right.
Watch it actually was fuck.
Imagine if it was. I'll text her right now.
All right. Well, while she's doing that, Doplex, do you have a song for us?
You want a song?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. That's what you said, right? You want a song?
Yes. Sure.
All right. Here we go. What do you want the song to be about?
I think I want it to be about Enos's. Actually, no. Make it about Yankees Doodle and their dandy.
All right. Let me find a good beat here. No. No. Ooh, there we go. Hey. Hold on. Enos's and their dandies. It be all up in their handies. I'm talking about jacking off. I'm talking about whacking off. Masturbation.
All right, thank you, Amir.
That was nice. No worries, man.
That sounded like it could be in like a sex education video. Just like at the end, like teaching kids about masturbation.
Just a really cool teacher with a keyboard.
Yeah, I can see the teacher being like, "Now that was a funny song, but masturbation is serious business." I can see like that segue.
Yeah. And against God's wishes.
Yeah.
Turns out to be really religious.
Well, depending on which state you live in, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm kind of curious, Frankie. This is just kind of, this is a very specific thing that you may not know anymore since you're in college at this point, but what is the state of sex education in the UK right now?
Oh, God. Well, I can speak from the perspective that when I was in secondary school, so this was roughly about when I was like between 12 and like 16 or 17, you were only ever taught about it once every year.
Oh, okay.
And I remember those classes being the most awkward, the most like, why the fuck am I here? What am I learning? Kind of things. Because they would like tiptoe around a lot of the words, like penis. Oh, wow. Can't say that out loud. I didn't even know. Oh, God. Am I allowed to? Well, we've been saying the F word. I guess penis is allowed.
No, you can't say penis.
Oh, I can't say
penis.
Oh, no!
You have to say dandy.
Like I said, just no hard racial slurs and you're fine.
Yeah.
And you're good.
Like,
only soft ones.
We were taught how to strudel doodle the dandy, I guess. You know, strudel doodle the dandy.
Wait, you were taught how? Like they taught you how to do it? With techniques?
No, well, okay, but though I remember very specifically, there was one class where we all got given like fake penises. I was about to say, not say the fake bit, the fake penises.
Yeah.
And we were getting taught how condoms worked and how contraception worked when we were about 12 or 13. Because that's the best age to teach you at, not at the, you know, age of consent. I don't know where this is going, but they ran out of
out of penises.
So they had to go. And my second trip was in a small village, so it was very to get to the local shop, the supermarket, it was a 5-minute walk from the campus. So my teacher had to go out, buy cucumbers and bananas for all the rest of the students that didn't have any. And we were just there, sat there for half an hour, putting condoms on fucking vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what am I learning? What? How is this going to help me in later life? I don't know. Maybe it'll come to me one day when I have a cucumber in my hand and all I want to do is just put a condom on it. I don't want to eat it. You know?
I mean, that's naturally how you prepare a cucumber.
Yeah, that's step one.
Yeah.
It comes in the packaging already.
Step one, wrap cucumber in condom. Congratulations, you're ready for a salad.
Well, so my question, though, is subjective opinion on age appropriateness aside, do you think they did a good job or bad job?
I'd say on the male end of things, I think they lent more towards that than with females, because sometimes if we're going to really get into that kind of talk, around about then age, at that age, girls would start periods and stuff. Oh, fuck. You would have no idea what the fuck was going on. You'd be like, what the fuck's going on? as a girl.
I'm dying.
You'd think you're bleeding out and dying. you're actually on the bathroom floor. That's it. I'm out. At the ripe old age of 15, I've made it, but definitely, sex education-wise, it was you had to learn more stuff online, than you'd ever did in school, just because they just really didn't talk about it that much, other than that one time every year where you put condoms on vegetables.
Yeah.
That was about it,
Yeah. That's so weird to me, because, in the States, we didn't, I only had sex ed once, and that was in middle school.
Yeah.
And even then they just put on some old ass video for us to watch, and we're just
when they reel out the fat ass TV with the big the big bat, they put in the VHS tape and you're like, oh boys, it's about to get real.
And then the TV turns on and it's just illustrations of penises and vaginas.
Yeah. By the way, Amir, when you say middle school, just for the UK listeners, what approximately what age was that?
Yeah, that's I think 12, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, 12, 11 or 12.
See, I feel 13. 12, 13, unfortunately, it sounds a little young, but there's going to be some 12 or 13-year-old kids that, get into it too early that might benefit. I get it. But the thing about sex education in America, though, is it's terrible. Because we have this thing where every one of the 50 states thinks they're super special, so they want their own rules, and they don't want to play along with everyone else. And a lot of states, especially in the South, which is kind of that's our term for the Southeast for some reason, they like to pretend this is a bad thing, that kids shouldn't learn about this kind of stuff. And so what ends up happening is they teach abstinence only, and they teach you if you have sex, you're gonna die, and that kind of that kind of attitude, and it leads to sky high teenage pregnancy rates and stuff, and it's a real problem over here. So
because they want to die? Is that, yeah. Is that what you're implying?
Oh, no, I'm just saying there's a direct correlation between the comprehensiveness of sex education here and the amount of problems that happen for teens, where the problems drop off dramatically if they're actually taught. Mm. And there's kind of this thing where people in the United States look to the UK, whether it's correct or not, is this liberal bastion of progressive values in comparison. So I was just kind of, that's why I was asking about that, because there's some interesting cultural differences there, I think.
Yeah. I mean, being within the education, my sister's like she's like 16-ish at the minute, and like she had barely had any classes in it, like not as much as I had. Like they've been cutting back on that kind of stuff because they've been leaning more towards teaching us when we're younger about the changes to our bodies rather than the changes we could possibly do to other people's bodies kind of thing. It's like, I think maybe you should teach them about both. Don't pick and choose. Just, you know, there needs to be equal amount of information spread about both of those things.
Do you think maybe now that we live in the age of the internet, there's some assumption that a kid's just going to like traumatize themselves at like 10 or something and that they don't necessarily need to teach it as much? Because I feel like you're going to kind of come across it pretty young on your own now these days, because there's no effort to censor the internet whatsoever anymore with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there is definitely like the internet is a dangerous place. You can access the wrong kind of information. You can easily educate yourself in the wrong way.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. Hence why it should be pushed to be taught more in schools in the safer environment rather than a 10-year-old accidentally stumbling upon hentai. You know?
Like me.
Oh no.
We did have a channel, it was called the AZN channel, that would play hentai late at night. And that was kind of my discovery. And I was just like, yo, these dudes drew some fucking titties. Holy shit. And that kind of, that ruined me.
By the way, Amir, do you have any prepared segments for us this time?
Yeah, I do actually. sorry, Frankie, if you're if you're cool with this, I set up a voice acting segment. Where I created four characters, and then you just have to like give me the voice you think they would have.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Okay. I'm excited.
All right. So the first one is an anthropomorphic bowl of soup.
Fucking Christ. An anthropomorphic bowl of soup.
Yeah, how would that sound?
Okay, I have juice here. So I'm just gonna
That sounds about right.
Yep.
I was not expecting that. But that was like that was perfect.
Accurate.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I'm the complete opposite. I was exactly expecting you to do that.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's fantastic. And then the next one. Oh god. And the next one is a dog who smokes a fuck ton.
Oh, dog. Okay. What kind of dog are we talking here? Like, are we talking like a bloodhound, like a really like sad looking bloodhound, or like a little chihuahua?
Oh, yeah, a chihuahua who smokes a lot of cigarettes.
A crackhead chihuahua. Right up here. Yes. Yeah, I smoke 50 a day.
I don't know. I've never done that voice before. There you go. Podcast exclusive. Yusuf?
Can you say the following line in that voice? Stay in school, kids.
Stay in school, kids.
Right. I can see that character saying that like at the corner of a supermarket, like looking at kids and like trying to help.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That was great.
This is killing Duplex. Keep going.
Oh man. And then I have Jesus Christ, but as a bouncer at a nightclub.
Oh gosh. Okay.
That's a little bit tougher.
Oh god, think here. Like, I think the nightclub should be called, like,
Holy Water.
The Holy Water. Like, do you have your Holy Trinity card kind of thing? Like, can you get in? Yeah. Okay. Okay. You want to come into the Holy Nightclub? You must present me with your Holy Trinity card. I don't know why he sounds like that. I cannot.
He's a weird Sean Connery.
I had him in my brain. I was like, yeah, that's the one I'm going with.
Wow.
I'm trying to imagine, like, him as a bouncer at a nightclub taking forever to say a word.
Oh my God, Yusuf. Yusuf said, "You ain't getting in with those sandals, mate." Oh my God.
That was great. And then the last one I have is a pretty easy one. Just Joe Swanson and or Markiplier. It's kind of the same thing.
Oh, like hey, Peter.
What? Like that?
Yeah, Peter. I can't do anything other than Pete. Like, hey, you know, Peter. Yeah. he has that kind of goes down when he's yes. Yeah.
Hey, Peter.
Hey, Peter. Yeah, I can't do it.
Hey, Markiplier here. It's kind of the same thing.
To be fair, by the way, for some reason, Amir has chosen to exclusively give you male voices to try to tackle.
I mean, the only, like...
I'm trying to challenge her.
The only boy voice that I'm confident in is, like, one that every girl can do, I think, which is the Ash Ketchum voice.
Oh, bust out, if you can.
Yeah, like, I can... do that pretty well. Like, ever since it was that one, I can't even remember what the movie was. It was the one where Pikachu, like, speaks.
Oh, spoilers. God.
That fucking movie. I just do it for the meme all the time.
It's because I always want to be with you. Yeah, it was, oh.
Yeah, I'm just like, Pikachu, why won't you go inside your Pokeball?
Holy shit.
That's pretty good.
That's insanely good. What the fuck?
Wow.
Yeah. But it's only that one line.
That sounded like a direct like clip.
Yeah, that was really good. Although I think she was saying like apparently like all girls can kind of do that. It's because it's like a very easy voice.
Yeah, it's very much like a kind of vocal fry up in the head resonance kind of voice.
Yeah.
So it's very like if I made it more like elongated and bouncy, that would be Ochan's voice, like because it's kind of like deep but not too deep in the sense of like a female voice.
Well, I feel like if you can do that Ash voice so well, then you could probably do Bobby Hill, right?
I don't know. I have not experimented with this voice. Like, so many doors have opened for me now ever since I've been able to do this voice.
That's what we do here on the first podcast. We open doors.
Realize my potential.
Doors you didn't even know were there. Yeah. Because I feel like Bobby Hill is just like a more timid Ash Ketchum.
I'm okay, Dan.
Wait, I need like a
you need like a reference or
like a reference. If I listen to him, I'll be able to try and like wait. What's this? That's my purse original. Okay, let's listen to this.
Oh yeah,
okay, I'm listening to it. He goes. That's my purse. You get like downwards. Okay. That's the only thing I heard him say in that clip, and that's the only thing I will say.
Okay.
That's okay. That was worth the wait.
So anticlimactic.
So are you going to be a voice actor now? Like, is this like your thing? Like, this is going to be your job?
Oh, I really want it to be. I so want it to be.
You're really good at it.
Thank you. Like, I don't know, like with voice acting, when I was like younger and when I first started doing like the projects and stuff with Yusuf and like all the gang, we didn't really think much of it. It was just a very fun thing that I thought at the time. I was just like, I am enjoying myself so much doing this and I get to like act. So that's a bonus. But as I've gotten older and as I've had to make decisions as to what I want to do with my life, like performance has always been the constant in my life, always. Like, I know I want to go into that business in the arts. Never once did I think it would be voice acting because it never quite settled for me like, oh, I really enjoy voice acting. I like doing this. I see this as a fun thing. Never like, oh, I'm actually good enough that I could possibly do this as a career. And once I started thinking like that, that's when it kind of settled in for me, like going to university, like that's what I want to pursue. That's what I want to do. So
yeah,
definitely working on the Ochan show has given me that kind of kick up the butt to say, you're literally voicing in something of professional standard. Like, yes, you can do it, Frankie. You just need to figure out how to get into more things, which, you know, at the minute I'm a bit clueless. I don't know. I'm just a uni student. I write my essays at my computer every day, and that is my life at the moment.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, yeah. So to your point about, like, you know, you have, like, this giving you that sort of, you know, like, kick in the ass to, like, you know, actually get into the industry a bit more. Mm. I feel like what you're doing now with Oda-chan, it's like, it's a lot more than just, like, voicing a character. You're voicing a character that's so unique, and, like, I don't want to say, like, I mean, I guess I could probably say, like, hasn't exactly, obviously anime girls have been done before, but, like,
yeah,
this style and, like, this, the way it's embodied has not been done before. Yeah. At least to my knowledge, I'd say it's pretty fucking unique. I don't know. I think that you'd be pretty, I think it'd be pretty easy for you to find something if this is under your belt.
Yeah, because I feel extremely proud knowing that when I eventually get around to doing, like, because I have loads of people asking me, do you have a demo reel? Do you have, like, a commercial reel? Like, do you have any of these reels? And I don't, but I know, like, I will be exceptionally proud when I get around to making one that I'm proud, like, I'm really proud of, that Oda-chan will be on there.
Mm-hmm.
And that people will recognize me for that, because yeah, so many people yeah recognize me for that. And that makes me really happy, because when I first started doing things like performance stuff, like, I was really into musical theater, and I would always be really set on if there was ever, like, a musical theater performance of Les Mis or Matilda or something, like, I'd want to be cast as Matilda, or, like, all these set characters that, like, never really felt like my own when I'd be singing them. And when it comes to voice acting in Oda-chan, it really does feel like this is, like, a baby that has been spawned between loads of different people. But because yeah I give her the voice, there's just that really special place there with me that I can genuinely call her my own, because she has developed with me, not only, like, as a character, but as a voice actor, I've developed through it as well. So, like, I can't wait to be able to use what I've taken from Oda-chan to pursue more things, because it surprises a lot of people that I haven't been in stuff, because they'll think they will think they've heard me in things, and I'll be like, mm-hmm, no, I haven't. That wasn't me in your anime. That wasn't me.
Well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense, because it seems like you hear Oda-chan on the show.
Mm.
She sounds like someone who is voiced by a seasoned voice actor who has, like, a decade in the industry. So that, like, that makes complete sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It does. Ooh. It does boggle my mind.
People are fangirling over you in the chat right now.
Really? Oh,
I can't fucking believe Yusuf and Frank are here.
That's great. Oh.
Bruh.
Big bruh moment.
Bruh.
Is it weird to you guys? Bruh, like, okay, so bruh, only semi-recently would I bruh say, because, like, we just kind of put the podcast on YouTube very, very recently, and it took a long time to grow the show to the point where I would say we have, quote-unquote, fans. Is it weird to you guys to have fans? That's such a strange concept to me.
I find it so incredibly strange, just because there's a line with, like, my online self and my real life, I'm studying, I'm a student self. It's like I'm living a double, I'm like Hannah Montfucking-Tanner. Like, that's how I feel right now. Like, whenever I'm online and I put on the purple wig, I summon her within me, I do my recording, you know, that is, like, a completely different world to what I'm living in reality, like, with me as an actual person. And it's only when, like, I log into Twitter or something and I see, like, fan art and stuff like that, and I'm like, oh, that's really cool, and then I stare at it for, like, two more minutes, and I'm like, I fucking voice that character, like, what the mm-hmm fuck? Like, I'm
yeah,
it can really get overwhelming sometimes. And I think by next year, we're, like, fingers crossed, like, if the conventions are running, because of, like, hopefully COVID's not too bad next year, like, see, like, with the convention season, like, when I go, it's every time I've went to AX, more and more people have recognized me, and the more and more overwhelming it feels sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, I'm actually recognized in the street. That is a very big first for me, you know, if you're not my friend and I don't know you, you know, like, it's just
right.
Is yeah, it's
it's crazy. Yeah. And I mean, obviously that must be, like, a really cool experience, you know, being yeah recognized for
something that you've embodied. But it must be like kind of like sort of like a different, like it must feel weird to be recognized like for something you do with your voice. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's because like a lot of people, you know, like they rely heavily on their talents of like, you know, like on camera personalities, or I mean, I know you have your own channel, but like,
yeah,
you know, or like even like just celebrities who just like, I don't know, like TikTok influencers who would just like, you know, show off their face like for 7 seconds, you know, and then like they get recognized. But like you're actually doing something with like your pipes, you're creating something.
Yeah.
You're, you know, that must be kind of interesting to like be recognized for something like that.
It really is, because now like I've started to pursue other things. So I've started to stream on Twitch because all my friends were like, you would be an ethot for sure if you started streaming on Twitch. And I was like, no, I won't. And I reached like 1K within like the first 2 weeks. So I was like, oh God, okay, right. It helps when you're British as well, because that's the extra thing. Like people are like, wait, and they think they're like, oh, Ota-chan's voice actor streams.
Mm-hmm.
They're expecting, you know, this American accent, as we said before, and then I'm streaming. I'm literally screaming, swearing, effing and jeffing, whatever, like
my
British accent, like, oh, what the fuck you doing, mate? Blah blah blah. And they're like, what is? Who is she? And it's like, this is the other. This is the other soul that lives within the body. She's called Frankie.
Yeah,
she put a video game in front of me, and I scream to high heaven. Like I am just like. I'm like those gamers that you see on like the perfectly cut screams videos on Twitter where they like smash their keyboards and stuff. That's me. That is me when I play games. Oh my God, don't hit me. Oh my God. Yeah, Twitch has helped like separate, I think, in a way, like personalities, I guess.
You could create a whole nother character.
Yeah. Well, like, I guess the other character's me. Like,
yeah, but I mean, know. Like... within like a show, or like within, you know, the Ota-chan show, like you could have a whole nother character that's just more so based on Frankie, you know.
Or she could just be herself though. Like maybe that's a good time to do that.
Meets me, I like crossover. Like just like
Oda Frankie.
Oh.
Oda Frankie. They did the fusion
dance.
Who
are you? Like, I know you, but you don't know me.
I'm you, but stronger.
In the show, she's like self-aware, like in like before we started the like natural like anime side of things. Like when I'd break character, it would be self-aware because I'd stay in Ota-chan's voice, but I'd be like, "Oh, Frankie, you fucked up for fuck's sake!" Like, you know, like blaming the voice in her head, kind of thing.
Yeah,
like it's how I like to think about it. It's just like when she's slightly slipping, that's when like I break character, and it's just like. Oh no, okay, she's gone. I got to summon her again, you know. It's scary, but that's the genuine mindset I have. Like, I'm actually summoning a fucking demon within my body. Like, I can't think of it any other way.
By the way, it does require some talent, obviously, to be able to voice something that is not in your native accent. And I'm curious how you even got there in the first place.
So, my friendship groups are like with everyone that's like involved with Otakuverses and stuff like the show. We come from everywhere. Like predominantly a lot of my friends are from the US, and like they're from like different parts of the US. So I've got like a few friends that live around like Chicago, Denver, Ohio, like around like those areas. So I think and I've been friends with these people for like approaching 7 years, like a long time. So I've been surrounded by their voices for so long, and the kind of like as well as listening to anime in dubbed, because predominantly I listen to it in dubbed just because I'm dyslexic, so reading sometimes is very difficult. So you can imagine when script reading, like that's why I break
nothing
character
wrong
a lot.
With that.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Like, but I've been surrounded by it so much that when I did eventually start like experimenting with my voice and what I was capable of, I just pick up certain little things from people's accents and how they would say words. Like, I don't know, like a word that's really different, like that I say, like in my British accent compared to like Ochan saying it. There's certain words I struggle with, I know, but like I only find out in the moment, and me and it gets to the point where me and Yusuf are sat there and like, oh, we're gonna have to rewrite that G. Nah, no, mm-hmm. I can't do that. I can't do that word. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, like I definitely think it's because of the people, like the people I'm closest with and I surround myself with during the process definitely have an influence on that.
Yeah.
Because other than that, like really is something that my voice is just developed with, I guess, just finding my own different voices for things. And as a young kid, I was really annoying. So voices at the time.
This is just what I hear, by the way. I don't know if it's true or not, but I just like that the idea is that going from British English to American English, like it has its difficulties, but going the other way is like significantly more difficult because I feel like American English is flatter sounding, like it's less fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, there's a few actors that there's a show I'm watching at the moment, actually, on Netflix. Are you guys like Haunting of Hill House, Bly Manor? Like they reprised like the same actors for the series.
Oh.
And there's one actor that in Hill House, he played the youngest brother in a family, and it was an American family. And then in Bly Manor, he's playing this Scottish man, and honest to God, and he's British himself. And he'd managed to like switch all these different like accents so flawlessly. Like it was really difficult to pin, because I was convinced he was American. When I listened to it. And I think that's sometimes when people listen to me and they're shocked by it. Some like if you listen to someone's putting on an accent first before you actually hear their voice, it's like you can convince yourself of one thing and then be in denial about it for the rest of your life once you hear how they really sound.
Right.
So, yeah.
I wonder if it's harder for like somebody with a British accent to go into like American and vice versa. Because like I feel like it's. I mean, I don't know. Like, granted, I'm not an experienced voice actor, but like it's so hard to do a British accent and do it like as good as somebody doing an American accent.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. And it's like, it's really easy to see, like, if you ever watch Broadchurch, which is a British show about this small town where, like, a kid gets murdered. David Tennant, who's mostly famous for Doctor Who, he plays like, the detective inspector. And then in the American adaptation called Gracepoint, he also plays the same guy, but it's, like, in America. And he uses an American accent, and he does a really good job, but I can't imagine it'd be as easy to do it the other way around. Like, I don't know. There's just something about American English that seems so easy to me. Like, there's like, British is, like, American English in italics or something. I don't know. That's, like, the best way to formulate it in my head.
I like that. But granted, we already kind of speak like that. So I wonder if it's just because our brains are just wired that way. Like, if I were to try to take up, like, a Cockney accent.
Oof.
Yeah, that's, like, that's the go-to, like, British, I'm British, tea and crumpets, like, we talk like you know. Oi, bruv, what you doing? You standing up me, mate? You what?
Innit?
Squaring up, innit? You know, like, that's, like, whenever I say I'm British, people are like, oh, British, kind of thing. Like, no, I'm actually... I don't speak like that. No, I don't.
Yeah.
Sometimes I play it up to the point where I sound absolutely very up my own arse, very posh, and people are like, oh my fucking God.
You'd say arse.
Arse. I can't even say arse. Arsehole. I can't arse. Even. swears are fun. We love swearing.
Yeah.
Clearly you love swearing. That's what Otakuverse is all about.
Yeah. I think Yusuf said it in like when he was on the podcast. It's just like whenever he's scripting, he just likes to sprinkle it in there because he loves the word so much. Like,
You sound good.
It suits Otakuverse voice so much. I'm so used to saying fuck that sometimes when I'm screaming at my video games, I'll go fuck, like it will sound like her. When I get angry, that's what people recognize. When I get angry, that's when I sound like her. She's like Hulk within me. It's another way of summoning her. You really get on my nerves. She's gonna come out.
Yeah. Actually, that kind of reminds me. I mean, I don't know. I don't think we touched on this yet. But speaking of swearing, one thing that really caught me off guard was the amount of swearing and the fact that it was on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, how do you guys like still manage to be successful with that, even with like the insane amount of like, you know, because obviously YouTube is like very like they try to be family friendly or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's like a you guys drop an F-bomb like every other second.
Fucking weirdos. Get in the fucking car.
And it's awesome. It's really refreshing because like I feel like people are very scared to do that.
Yeah.
But you guys take that risk with like something that takes so much work. You know, obviously animation, voice acting, script writing, all that stuff, and then just completely destroy it with a bunch of swear words.
I mean, like, there are some points because Yusuf says this as well, like, the script is never done until I've, like, looked at it and I've gone through it during recording because things change as soon as I record. So when, like, we've got the episodes up right now, maybe those episodes would have had, like, at least 10 or maybe 30 other F-bombs that would have been dropped if I hadn't, like... Okay, it's becoming slightly a tongue twister now, and I can't say like the F-bombs like quick enough or something. Although I think I could if I had practice. But with YouTube, it's definitely like with like the monetization and stuff. Like when that got taken away, I think it was just like, do you know what? We're just gonna keep doing whatever the fuck we want to do because fuck YouTube in the sense of you're not letting us do what we want, so we're just gonna keep doing it, and if you don't like it, then fuck you, as O-chan would say, you know. Like, just put, like, it's like a plaster in like a gaping wound. It's just like, fuck, ooh. Yes, that's brilliant, fuck, yes, <It's>, we have an issue, fuck, just put fuck, you know? Just.
Which makes sense, because I mean, I feel like that's how most people speak.
Yeah, and if anything, I think that's a really good analogy of the O-chan show itself. It's just O-chan, you know, there's the cracks in the walls and everything. Everything's falling apart. She just puts a tiny little plaster on it with fuck, you know.
Yeah.
I think that encapsulates the show very well.
That's a great great box quote. Like, if there was ever a video game, it should be on the back.
It should.
I like that.
Gosh.
O-chan video game when, by the way?
Ooh, yeah. Yusuf, when? I want to know.
Yusuf.
I mean, there's so many gaming references in the show, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
Can I say the one thing that really caught me off guard?
Yeah.
Was the Papa John's coupon. I was not expecting that. That, like, product placement for no fucking reason. I thought that was so cool.
I mean, that was on when I was recording and I get given the collateral damage, they did the the scene drawings, like the storyboarding and stuff. So that was literally drawn on the storyboarding when I was first recording and going through it. And when I was reading like the script, like that Papa John's is in there, I was like, you know what, we got good taste in pizza over here. Like, this is in the UK, Papa John's is very good. Like, it's, I don't know how it is in the US or anything like that. I don't know, but like the UK, it's like better than Domino's, better than like most pizza places here. The most expensive over here. So, you know, that was a big deal here. Down the phone, you know. So
yeah.
But like, yeah, most of the stuff that like is like referenced is very much it comes so much from Yusuf's personality, and it like and that's why I love the show so much. It just oozes with different parts of like people's like loves and stuff, and like the aesthetic of the show especially has been influenced by like a lot of what Yusuf is like really into, like the fight in the episode 2 when like O-chan's like playing like the fighting game and stuff like that. Like Tekken, Yusuf's massive on Tekken, he loves Tekken, and it's just like I knew there'd be Tekken somewhere in there at some point. You know, sometimes when I see things, I'm like, yeah, I knew that would be in there eventually. Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's another thing too. Speaking of aesthetics, and Lars, when I say the word aesthetics, I want you to add reverb on it, please.
All right.
Aesthetics. giving it time to ring out. Speaking of the aesthetics of the show, it has probably the most, I'm trying to think of like a strong enough word, the most fucking awesome aesthetic I've ever seen in like an animated show, because obviously it has that like vaporwave, that like sort of like city pop slash future funky. It's everything, man. Like that, everything about the Oda-chan show is just like, this is, I wish there was more shows like this.
Yeah, I was going to say, I imagine when Amir watched this that it was going to be just basically crack cocaine for him. Like,
oh, it was.
Very much
it
up his alley.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like,
so good.
With everything that influenced the show, I remember, like, even when we'd sit down and talk about, okay, episode 3, episode 4, episode whatever we were talking about, what the episode would be like, it'd just be, we'd be sat in a call and we'd stick on some, like, future funk, like chilled out music, like that would be the kind of headspace we'd be in when we were like formulating things, and especially like in the beginning of developing everything, like I will never forget when Yusuf launched the Patreon, and the night he launched it, he obviously put like the goal is 3,000, I think, if I remember correctly, and I remember him saying, he was like, it'll stop at 3,000. Like, so sure of himself that it would. And waking up to see that it was not that, and he had to produce an anime. It's like, shit, boys, gotta make a show now. Just, oh my God. But we all knew it was going to be like a very like ambitious project, and we knew people would like support it because of the potential that was behind like every single kind of Oda-chan project we did prior to that. It was just people would want more of it. Like, they'd want to be more immersed in this, like the Oda-chan universe, and like what is she about? We want to know more about that. And I think with the show and what we're really pushing for is that everything that the show has been influenced by has been influenced by real people. And even that even is like, it applies to me whilst recording and stuff, because that's why I loved recording episode 2 so much, because when she's having a real moment, when she's talking and actually saying, you're like, no, I fuck up all the time. I'm just a fuck up. And like, everyone expects me to fuck up, and you know, that's just what everyone expects. And what the fuck am I supposed to teach people? You know, like that, like headspace that she's in is something like I feel that like is super duper relatable for like anybody in any kind of sense, like, and as a voice actor as well, it really, there's like an emotional kind of connection that you have there,
right?
That I really like, I nearly got teary recording that just because it was very, yeah, like what a, like the question you asked me earlier, like what the 5-year plan kind of thing. It's just like, what am I supposed to teach people? Like, where am I supposed to be in a few years? You know, that kind of questioning yourself. I feel like she's super relatable in that sense. And that's the kind of thing that I want to give to the show with her as the voice, being the voice of that. And like aesthetic wise, that's very much Yusuf's kind of expertise, in the sense of like, I'm sure he'd be able to like indulge you on a bit more about that. Like, especially with like the animation and stuff now with each episode, it's been getting so much better with what I've seen. Like, it's been so, so good, what I've seen so far. The episode 3 is really, really good. And more of that aesthetic that you were talking about that you liked, it's just being like brought out even more, which, ooh, you know, yeah. It's just, whenever I see something, I'm just gobsmacked. Cause I'm like, it's just getting better. It's like,
I'm putting a condom on a cucumber just thinking about it.
You know, it's interesting because I picked up on the term episode 3, and it's just, it's reminded me that something really of interest here. I think let's talk about this for a second from the perspective of content creation, because most projects don't have the kind of momentum and fandom and buzz and hype when they have 3 episodes to their name. Like that's really hard to do.
Yeah.
So why do you think that people seem to have latched onto this to such an extreme extent when the amount of actual content that's out there is just like several minutes?
I think genuinely because of how ambitious it was when we first announced it, like, we're doing this, like, we are definitely gonna do this kind of thing. That ambition kind of sparks all kinds of reactions out of people. Mm-hmm. There's like, oh, I really want this to happen. I really support them, what they're going to do. Or there's people that are like, I just want to watch this blow up in their faces kind of thing. You get like the different kind of angles on it. So therefore there's like different kind of like traction that builds up with that. I think, and also a big part of it is that we've had quite a loyal following from when we like first started doing like just random little anime skits, even things that I wasn't even like voicing in necessarily, that all of us, we'd be like friends just sat in a cool, like, oh, that'd be funny in that like video, or that'd be funny there, you know. We built a kind of world with the stuff that we'd done prior to that, and I think that like speaks for itself, and it spreads. And I think when the Ota Chan thing really stuck when we first introduced her, and even when I go back and listen to her voice, it makes me cringe about how much I've kind of changed. Because that was when I first started doing the accent, and I was, that was interesting, because I'd like really stumble over my words and stuff, but I was finding my feet. But it stuck with people. It really stuck with people, and people had like asked for more of that. And I think that's what people kept asking for more of on the channel. So, you know, just meant I just kept up with the voice acting thing. That was a big plus. Because I enjoyed doing that. But definitely, I think it's also the within, like, if we're going to talk about like the anime as like an anime community, I don't think anybody else really is like investing this amount of time into the kind of content that we're creating. And like, I can say that quite confidently because like, I can literally see behind the scenes with like Yusuf loses fucking sleep over some of the stuff. Like he is a machine. And also the animators, they're incredibly hyper talented. I've had some of them message me saying, thank you for the way that you voice a certain thing. Like, it's really helped me be creative with the animation. And to hear that is even better, you know? It's just the amount of support I think we gained from that is what has made that the show take off in that sense. Like, very rambly, but a very rambly answer, I understand, but
that's fine.
Yeah, definitely.
I think you did a great job of answering that. I mean, you guys definitely presented it well. I mean, it's definitely one of those things that, you know, like when I was saying earlier, how like just it's this nice like package, right? It's this like very kind of like modern style anime, but also very retro. It's basically like what people like on the internet, but in anime form. So it's pretty easy to sell. And the fact that it's easy to sell has to be obviously accompanied with the fact that it's executed correctly, which I think, you know, you guys did such a good job with the show. So I mean, it doesn't surprise me that it's doing as well as it is, because you guys do a really good job. You voice her very well, and the character is animated really well. So it's just a nice gumbo pot. There's my food analogy for the day.
I think that part of it also is the fact that it's kind of making fun of anime too. Like very pointed satire and criticism of the medium as well, which really helps.
It's very self-aware.
Yeah.
All the time.
it's really interesting to me how, like, it's very much, and I don't mean this as an insult, it's very much like style over substance, where you're not really saying that much. Like, not much is actually being accomplished. It's
but
just
you don't
very
need
slick.
To.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely.
That's so fucking true. Holy shit. I think that's why I like it so much, is because of how self-aware it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel especially when I'm recording as well. When I'm saying lines, I'm trying not to crack up, because I'm like I know why I'm saying this line. I know it's like in the beginning one, it was so influenced by, and I think you picked up on it with Yusuf, the Wolf of Wall Street. Like, the first, I was like, I'm going to help you help yourself by helping me, like, you know, kind of thing. And it's like, I could be spouting absolute shit, you know, but with everything that's happening, it's like, well, why would you buy it? Just look how adorable I am. You're going to buy this, you fucks, you know, like, you're so going to, like, not give a shit about what I'm saying. It's because I'm a fucking adorable anime girl. You're going to buy it. Gacha games. But, like, yeah. You know, point. I think episode one especially is point in case that.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, if you guys are going to do an Oda-chan show video game, why not just make it a gacha game? Because then the bucks come in right away. And you get your whales.
Yusuf, bro.
Yep.
Take note, Yusuf. That's a big investment.
By the way, you were talking about how, like, this is one of my first appearances on a podcast. Oh, I'm worried. What do I expect? And I'm curious if there's anything, like, you were hoping we were going to get into that we didn't.
Oh, gosh. Well, with this being, like, my first, like, talk on a podcast, I really didn't know what to expect. I knew you were going to try and get me to voice things. I knew. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'll have my water ready.
But did you know I was going to get you to voice an anthropomorphic bowl of soup?
I must have had a premonition in my dream to have this glass of water right next to me for that moment in time.
you did summon that pretty quickly. I have a sneaking suspicion you've done this before.
You know, it's not my voice first acting. Radio.
Yeah.
No, not just voice, like voice acting as a bowl of soup. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. But yeah, I don't know. There really isn't anything, like, I guess, like, maybe people know me and guess my personality from the character that I voice. And they only really to find out snippets about myself when, like, I'm streaming on Twitch, or like I post the odd tweet, you know, that kind of thing. So, like, how am I, like, different in, like, the sense of, like, as a person to Oya-chan? Because I think, like, when I think about that, I am extremely contrasting, like, as a person. Like, this is, like, facts and stuff. So, like, obviously I'm a university student. Very different to Oya-chan. Like, from, like, a perspective of me, and, like, outside of YouTube and outside of uni, like, I'm a young carer and I look after my mum, and that's something people don't know, like, a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. I think I did a live stream raising money for fibromyalgia awareness, because that's, like, what she is diagnosed with. And, like, that's, like, another big part of my life that, you know, a lot of people don't, like, know. And to be fair, I don't talk about it a lot, but it's something, like, I don't, like, hide or anything. But, like, being a carer is a humongous thing in my life. So in the sense of, like, the time that I get to record and stuff is a very nice, like, release of all the stress and everything from, like, uni, from being a carer, from just, like, every day can't deal with people interacting, god, living with flatmates, kind of thing. It's a really nice like stress relief from that, which, you know, sometimes people do confuse me a lot in my DMs with, like, talking to me as if I was a crackhead purple haired girl, which, you know, they'll ask me, like, do you have, like, a contact? I'm like, for who? The crack cocaine? No, I don't. Literally think I'm a crack dealer. Like, I'm not. I'm very, very much the opposite, my dude.
It's okay. You could be honest with us. We're not cops.
Yeah. Okay. But if it's getting a bit hot.
Oh, boy.
That's really interesting, though. I mean, yeah. I feel like, yeah, a lot of people don't really think about how, you know, the character that's being portrayed is obviously not going to be like an exact carbon copy of the person behind the voice. But that is like a very interesting stark contrast between, you know, the character you're voicing and yourself. It's like pretty much like polar opposites, but
yeah.
you can channel her, for example, when you're screaming fuck while playing a video game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in my most angered moments where she is summoned, because me as a person, I'm actually very calm. I don't often let myself lose my cool in situations, and Ota-chan is very much the opposite. So sometimes I have to get angry in order to achieve that kind of level of like lost control.
Right.
It's really difficult. Because I'll be there going, oh, yeah, I'm so angry right now. Ooh.
Yeah.
Like the least convincing thing.
Yeah.
You do, by the way, speaking of things about Frankie that aren't Ota-chan, you do also have a YouTube channel with a pretty decent amount of followers on there. And yeah. Is that like... I notice you don't really upload much on that. Is that kind of on hold at this point to focus on Ota-chan, or?
So I think part of it was when I went to university. Obviously, you have to like put a lot into that. So I kind of lost time with that. Part of it was because, yeah, Ota-chan, I really liked like putting more of myself into that rather than trying to make content on my own YouTube channel where I wasn't like too happy with it. Like I would upload sometimes this year, but like I just delete it because I wasn't like happy with it. Most of that was my singing. Like I do a lot of singing in my spare time, and I'd upload it and then I'd take it down just because I was like, no, like I think a part of this is because of how used to I am like being in something like the Ota-chan show. I'm like, the standard that I will hold myself to sometimes is stupidly high because of what I'm involved in, and I think that's a good thing because you always like you're not like settling for something that you know you can do better at, which is like my mindset with a lot of things, especially with the voice acting stuff. Like every Ota-chan episode I record, I'm like, I can take this away from this episode, I'm not sure how I voiced that, but like in the next one I know like what I would do and how I would approach like a script differently and stuff. And I apply that to whatever I do on my own channel. If anything, I think it's because I stream a lot more on Twitch as well. I think I've been super frequent with that now. Like I'm almost streaming like every like 3 days a week at least.
Yeah.
And that's where I've grown like a mini platform for myself, in the sense of I've got regular viewers and they'll come and like watch me scream at Final Fantasy 13 for about 2 hours. But like, yeah, I guess it's not lack of motivation, it's just holding myself to an extremely high standard, I think.
Yeah. Final Fantasy 13 gets a bad rap, I think, by the way. Also, I think we should take some live questions. If people would like to say something on air, now is the time. Go ahead and indicate in the chat if you'd like to.
Speak now or forever hold your balls.
All right. I'll go ahead and unmute Jake from Spook Farm.
Okay, first off, I want to say Lars is like a genie with these nicknames. But second off, what's your opinion on like people harassing both like Twitch streamers and like those who are, I guess the term is weebs. What's your opinion on all that?
So like, do you mean like the stigma behind it? Like the weeb kind of label and then having that?
I'm referring to, like, what I'm talking about here is mainly like Twitch streamers using, they're like hiding their face. They're using like these alternate webcam things that match their movements, but they're like some anime girl.
Oh, I see, like VTubing, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
With the whole VTuber thing, like, exploding. Yeah, because there's, like, been a few, like, I know, like, I'm trying to think of streamers that have done it. Like, I know, like, Pokimane got attacked a wee bit when she did it. Personally, I don't think people should be, like, attacked for trying things like that, because it's not like it's like if people like wanted me to VTuber Zota-chan, and I know, trust me, I've read my Twitch view, like when my Twitch view is tight, I know they want that so bad. I know they do. But it's like maintaining that character for so long, I think that would be very difficult. Very, very difficult.
I feel like it would also ruin the novelty of it. You know, yes, like I feel like if she was like always just readily accessible, like it wouldn't hit as hard when, you know, a new episode comes out.
Yeah, and that's like what I feel like the charm of that is. Like, I really feel that like having her not as a VTuber kind of thing, as a lot of people, like, it'd be so good if you did that. Why won't you do that? Like, definitely, as you said, like, hit the nail on the head. Like, the novelty of it and a place where you can find her is in like this one certain place. I feel that that's like very special and like,
yeah,
like special to her. And to answer more of your question, I feel like if it's accessible to people and they want to try it in like Twitch, and sometimes it can be people that are not confident with the way they look and stuff, and that is something that you know, a lot of people can struggle with sometimes, feeling very self-conscious, and this, it makes that platform more accessible for people like that and people that want to try that. So I think that it should be something that people shouldn't have such a negative stigma for people trying to do that in that regard, I think. But it's just my opinion.
All right. Thank you very much. And thank you to Jake from Spook Farm for asking the question. Mm. Let me go ahead and toss it. We're going to do two more and then we'll call it a night. Let's do Christmas Girl. Christmas Girl, you're unmuted.
Nice, nice. Okay. So I know you said earlier that like sometimes you cuss like Oda-chan when you're playing a game, but does like does the dirtiness ever last longer? Like, do you ever accidentally cuss out like your friends? Is it like a demon inside of you?
I mean, there have been points where my friends have been taken aback about like the way that I can string the amount of swear words that I do one after the other in a voice that is not my own. It makes swearing so much easier. So why would I not do it? You know, that kind of thing. But yeah, no, definitely. When I've been cooking or something in the flat, like I live with five other people at university, and when they hear me, sometimes, like, I'll burn myself when I'm cooking. I'll be like, ah, fuck, shit, bitches! Like, they'll just be like, is someone, like, broken into the house? Like, who is that in the kitchen? But, you know, they've lived with me long enough now to understand that there are two separate entities within me.
But, all right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Christmas Girl.
Thank you, Christmas Girl.
All right, next up we have Lork G, Lars's fan guy.
Okay, hey guys, I got a question. I apologize if you already answered this, because I've been on and off with studying, but with the voice acting you do, obviously, would you ever think of it becoming like professional, like with like shows or movies or multimedia productions and stuff like that, or would you rather keep it on a scale more like this? I think I remember you talking about doing an anime, but like anything beyond that?
Yeah, so, like, I addressed it, like, briefly earlier, that it's definitely something I've realised I want to push and pursue. Because when I was younger, I used to get picked on, like, hell for, like, doing YouTube videos and voicing in that sense, and, like, wanting to be a YouTuber, I guess. That was, like, my goal. But now that, obviously, things have taken off with the Oda-chan, I've gotten incredible amounts of confidence within myself with my voice acting from it, and realizing that that is actually a viable career path for me now, that I can pursue that and enjoy that. It's definitely something I want to push for, not just restricting myself to anime, because I love games, video games and stuff, humongous fan of the Final Fantasy franchise. Like, it would be a dream to voice in a Final Fantasy game for me. But yeah, it's definitely something that I don't want to limit myself to anime-wise. I want to, like, branch out, and if I'm going for it, I'm going to go for it. Like, all or nothing, bro. What I want to do.
I would like to see Oda-chan in Final Fantasy. Yeah. What is it? It was 16 got announced, so maybe 17.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 17.
I know a couple people have done voice acting for Final Fantasy, and it's like it's like the highlight of their career, basically. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
If I was a character in Final Fantasy, I would talk like this. Hey, this is the Final Fantasy.
You beat Joe
last one. Hey, it's me, Markiplier. This is the last fantasy. No more fantasies after this one.
Okay. So I'm going to give a last segment. Oh, boy. All right. So I'm going to give the last segment a chance here. And this is something that we've offered to every single voice actor that comes on the show. Just to do a quick read of something. And
yeah,
it's always optional, but no one has ever actually said no.
Okay.
So everyone in the chat, stop typing for a second. I'm going to go ahead and post it. Just leave the chat alone so it doesn't scroll up. Okay. This is from the movie Demolition Man.
Okay.
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 Oh, God.
Can you do this in the Oda-chan voice?
Oh, fucking Christ. Why does this look like a sex education poster? Oh, my God. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm reading it. I'm reading it. Why is this a thing? What? Why is this a thing?
It's a good way to poop.
Oh, my God. Okay. In the Oda-chan voice. Oh, God. Why does this, like, the step, what, the, how many, step waifu program? I can't. These were the steps that were never voiced. Canon.
Or okay. You could do this voice.
Oh. No, I can't do the voice. My brain was like, no.
You can do it in Oda-chan.
Okay.
Step one. Take two of the seashells and place them between your fingers to be, fucking Christ, okay, to be used like chopsticks. I'm going to break characters so fucking much. Okay. Step two. Using the two seashells, gently pull the feces, oh my fucking God, to remove them from your posterior until bowels have been completely emptied. Oh my fucking God, what? Okay, step three, using the third seashell, there's a third one? Okay, the third seashell, scrape away any, oh God, fecal, I can't pronounce
fecal
words.
Fecal.
Scrape away the fucking crap from your posterior. Step four, dispose of all three seashells in the toilet and flush, you dirty fuckers.
All right.
I can't go.
Oh, that was amazing. Holy shit. Oh, God. Can we get some claps in the chat, please? That was awesome.
Oh, I'm that so glad so I have good. My door shut and everything. Like, my flatmate's like, what the actual fuck is going on?
All right. So, with that out of the way, Frankie, where can people tune in? Where can people tune into your stuff?
So, let me get this right. So, my Twitch is where I am mostly. So that's like twitch.tv/Frankie_Lollia. I post lots of shit tweets, so you can follow me on my Twitter. That's the exact same handle. And yeah, on obviously the Otaku Versus show, you can watch that on the YouTubes, and yeah, very much appreciate the support there, and very, very glad for you having me on, so thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on.
You can also check out the Yusuf episode that we did, the other part of Otaku Versus.
Yes.
I'll put a link to that in the description, and also, guys, if you're watching this on YouTube, that's awesome, because we just launched a channel, and we're really excited to have you here. Please go ahead and subscribe. You can always change your mind, but just go ahead and hit the subscribe button now. It really helps support the show. I should probably put the link to the YouTube channel. And where is that?
God, Lars, so unprofessional.
Shut the fuck up, Amir.
I'm gonna play a song shit. While Lars gets his gears stripped.
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
All right, thank you, Amir. Okay.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, there's the link to the actual YouTube channel, but if you're listening to this on audio, just go to youtube.t1podcast.com. And guys, if you're a huge fan of the podcast and you want to get bonus episodes of the show, early release privileges, a funny role in the Discord, a patron-only chat, and more, you can go to patreon.com/t1podcast. Amir, what's the link?
patreon.com/t1podcast.
That's right. Frankie, thank you so much for being here. This was a delightful sequel
thank
to the Yusuf
so much
episode.
For having me. Thank mm-hmm. you.
This was fucking awesome. Thank you. Do you want to end the show in Oda-chan's voice?
Okay. Okay, hang on. She's.
Or you can do the bowl of soup.
She's coming back. Should I do Oda-chan as the bowl of soup?
Oh yeah,
sure.
Yeah, let's do that.
Everyone, thank you so much. Oh.
All right, let's clap on three. One, two, three. Okay.
Was that like on three or slightly after?
It was a little off for me.
Yeah, slightly for me
do
as
want,
well.
Should do you want to do
one,
it again? Just
yeah, one, two, three, clap, yeah?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
But if you want to, if you guys can do a separate one if you'd like.
All right, let's do a separate one. One, two, three.
Oh, that sounded good, yeah.
Okay. I was like,
solid clap.
Way off for me.
Oh, it was good for me.
Wait, did you guys clap wrong the first time? How do you clap wrong?
I don't know. You miss your hand, you slap a different part of your body.
Oh.
You know, easy mistake.
Yeah, happens all the time.
Oh, whoops, I hit my foot. Like, what are you talking about?
I just bent over. It was there. It looked like my hand.
I knocked an innocent bystander unconscious when I was trying to clap.